What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Delusional is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yeah!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, y'all? This is Apologia Radio. Welcome back to the Gospel Heard Around the World, 1360 KPXQ, Faith Talk, baby. That's Luke the Girl, Enjoy the Bear over there. What's up, y'all? How you doing? Good?
I like what you did there. That was...
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cute.
I'm Jeff.
Real cute.
How are you?
The Ninja?
Yeah, the Ninja!
It wouldn't be an Apologia Radio episode without Joy over there laughing at some animal gifts.
Before we start...
No, okay.
No, nothing. That's exactly what you did. Okay,
I have to tell you that I think I just discovered the cutest thing that has ever happened.
Oh.
I don't even know why I just said that, because it's just not true. I mean, there's so many cute things in the world. I just...
Oh,
I'll never find the number one cute thing.
This is just got ugly.
But, so...
You gonna spit it out, or are you just gonna keep...
Well, I'm just a little overwhelmed by the cuteness of it. Okay, so... Nowadays, people are wondering...
Modern times.
People are wondering...
Currently in a contemporary context.
Apparently, people are wondering about the activity of sloths, which is not a lot, but they must be doing something.
What are they up to? Well, yeah. Not a lot. Yeah. Kind of just hanging out.
They move slowly, stay high up in the trees. That's about it.
Yeah.
But... in order to track their movements and like see how far they can travel and how quickly they travel, scientists are outfitting them with these little teeny tiny backpacks.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And it's adorable.
Are they camel packs?
I encourage you to look it up.
Do they have little straws for their water?
No.
No,
they don't.
Do you see the video? It's going around. It's the sloth, and he's got like his hand just in a food bowl.
Yeah.
And he won't even move like his body. He just barely... He won't even reach in to, like, see, like, what else he wants. He wants a carrot, but he won't look over to see, like, where the carrots are at. He just got his hand in the bowl, and he's just trying to reach around. So the person has to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know you look like you're smoking hookah right now?
last Thursday night, I got... it looked like I was scuba diving. I was breathing oxygen through a scuba tank.
Okay, so you guys know what we're talking about. So last week, somebody saw a picture go up from when we were in the studio, and Joy has this massive jug of water, which we're just used to by now.
Moonshine?
Moonshine, yeah.
She's always got a jug of water. Well, today she has her Camelback typical Arizonan, walking around with a camelback, I guess. And she's taking little puffs off it.
Puffs.
Every now. Puff, puff, pass. Pass that water. Puff, puff, pass that water.
Clever. It's very clever.
Thank you very much.
The alternative is to carry like five little bottles of water around. Why would I do that?
True, true.
So I have, if I don't have my jug, then I'm usually carrying my backpack, which happens to also have water in it.
True that.
So I may as well, instead of carrying a bunch of little bottles, fill up the bag.
All right.
Come at me.
Come at me, bro. So, as Luke pulls up some more comments before we get into today's show, today on the show, we're going to answer some questions, and we're going to talk about Reformed theology. We're going to talk about Calvinism for those of you guys that haven't thought through the subject. I want to bring you through the scriptures here just to talk about how glorious God's grace is. That's really the point in discussing these issues, is really to talk about what does the scripture say about God's grace? The issue is, ultimately, when you say Reformed theology, if we're not talking about things like covenantalism and things like that, we're talking about the doctrines of grace of Reformed theology. We're asking the question, how gracious is God's grace? That's a good way to ask it. How gracious is God's grace? What does it mean that we're saved by grace? That's what we're really getting at. It's not a question for us as Christians today that are Reformed of wanting to be, do you just want to be on a team? That you just want to be part of that clique? That's really not it at all. It really has nothing to do with a man named John Calvin, Martin Luther, Zwingli, Edwards. It really has to do with going to the scriptures to say, what does the Bible teach about God's grace, our condition, Christ's sacrifice? Was it for anybody at all? Was it actual? Did it accomplish anything at all? When God saves, can he be thwarted by man or any other element? And can you lose your salvation when you've been truly saved? Those are the questions we're answering, and they're important because this is the stuff of our life. This is the stuff of our life as Christians. It's the stuff that matters the most. It's not about, let me say this as strongly as I can, it is not about being a part of a team, a Christian clique of some sort. It isn't about that. It isn't about saying, I'm Reformed. A lot of people around today, you know, carrying fine beards and smoking delicious pipe tobacco. I'm saying that as a... Seriously, I think there are people today who identify themselves with the Reformed tradition that just are not Reformed. They're not committed to those truths. It becomes a cool clique to be a part of today.
Young wrestlers in Reformed.
Yeah, you see.
With your skinny jeans.
If you think about a couple years
V-neck
ago.
V-neck t-shirts.
Acts 29.
Put that in your
pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
Acts 29, you know, produced a lot of guys that talked a lot about and heralded the doctrines of grace. It did. Now, I know Driscoll, the whole Driscoll thing aside, the truth of the matter is Acts 29 did produce a lot of people that were talking about doctrines of grace and heralding doctrines of grace. So whatever you think about ecclesiology and leadership and all the rest, let's put that aside. What Acts 29 did do is produce a lot of people saying, hey, this is really good, really true. And it created sort of a social kind of club of guys with beards and pipe tobacco, you know, talking about the finest of beers, you know, kind of thing. And, oh, we're Reformed. Let's suck the marrow from the bone of life kind of thing like that. You know, that's, you know, let's get it all. Let's go grab the gusto and let's do it all. And we're forgiven. But the truth is, I think a lot of these guys weren't really truly committed to these as biblical solid. This is the absolute final authority, God's word. This is what the word teaches. So when I'm saying we're talking about Calvinism today, I want you to know, if you're new to the show, if you're thinking about these issues, this has nothing to do with a man named John Calvin, has nothing to do ultimately with a Christian club, has to do with what does the scripture say? I want to know what Jesus taught about salvation and our condition. That's the point. I'm going to know what Paul taught about salvation and our condition. How gracious is God's grace? That's what we're going to talk about today, doctrines of grace. Maybe get to a question or two as well. Luke, you got some comments for us?
It's about time we do a show on Calvinism.
Amen.
I know, I've been waiting.
All these, what has it been, almost 2 years? We haven't yet to do a show on Calvinism.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Before I read some comments, I need to bring up a story that Joy and I were discussing on the way up.
All right.
In regards to your name.
Oh, no. The ninja?
Yes.
That's
Which is
not,
catching on.
It's
you
not
said,
catching
let the,
on.
Let the listeners decide, which they are.
Are you talking about because Colin Pearson made a meme?
Listen.
Meme?
It's catching on.
It's not catching on.
And this is why your name, that name must stick. So we did some really cool. Oh, we did some really cool pictures.
Do you want to eat the microphone today?
Yes. Yeah, eat your face. We did some really cool pictures this last week in new Apology Radio pictures, which will be coming once Joy decides to edit them. And but I
don't know. Be nice to me, and we'll see how quickly it happens. Stop teasing me about water and cute animals.
Yeah, stop looking at sloths and edit that junk. Okay, so we are on this lookout point. Elevation like 7,700 feet.
We need to
feet
talk about this. Yes,
it was glorious.
Yes, it was mm-hmm.
amazing. So we're getting the pictures on like the ledge,
mm-hmm. right on amazing. The rim,
and the ninja.
Yes,
like literally had to stand next to the wall and hold on to it the entire time because he was afraid he was going to fall off.
Not ashamed of it. It was really
so
high up.
This is I'm just saying that it proves the question mark at the end of your name.
Oh, that's where you were going with that?
Yep.
You see, that's not even that's
I'm,
ridiculous.
I'm a big bad ninja, but I gotta hold on to this wall so I don't fall off.
Oh, all right. Okay, hold on now. When you are probably how high up was that? About 1,500 feet? 1,200 feet?
It was probably about a 60-foot drop where we were at.
Yeah, but fall wouldn't have been as high as the rim is.
Well, hold on. There was a little cliff edge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, a little bit down. Mm-hmm. But you could totally miss that, and you're just going to keep going down, right? It wasn't 60 feet down from there.
You would have landed 60 feet down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, whatever.
You wouldn't know.
Whatever.
You wouldn't know because you wouldn't get even close to the edge.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on now.
I mean, I still wouldn't want to fall 60 feet.
No, okay, I wouldn't either. No,
we have to talk about the fact that, Joy, you were being absurd. Okay, let's just be honest. You were being absurd. You know
no.
it. The wind was blowing like crazy, and Joy would see me looking at her, and she would walk purposely closer to the edge so that her toes were hanging off the edge.
No.
Just, yes.
I wasn't purposely doing it. It's just you know that you're safe. I mean, okay, like...
Famous last words.
Okay, well, all right. I spend a lot of my time on mountains. I guess I'm just not afraid.
You're just proving the question mark. That's all I got to say.
I spent a lot of my time on mountains with locusts and honey and camel fur.
No.
There was a point where you were like squatted down in the fecal.
Oh! Oh! Oh, it's awesome. This did not happen. Scratch that.
Actually, that's probably more appropriate than fetal. Actually, the position you're in.
We were in the open. There was a parking lot
down
there.
Your stomach was hurting, and I was dancing a jig around you.
Yeah,
trying to make you nervous.
So I was in the fetal position.
Yeah.
That's true, though. If you guys were with us, I was acting like a baby. I'm not going to lie. Okay, listen. Of the three of us, I've jumped out of an airplane twice.
That's irrelevant.
It's relevant because it shows that I actually am, of the three of us, the one who's engaged in the most dangerous activity. I've jumped out of an airplane two times.
And you are
you
the one.
You've done none.
With a question mark at the end of your name that had to hold on to the wall because you were scared.
Okay, A, there were no walls there.
There was a wall.
And
it was a rock wall.
That's rocks. That's not a wall.
That would be a wall.
Well, agree to disagree.
Well.
Waiting room.
Okay. So the thing is this thing was super high up, and you guys are ridiculous. And you actually tried to push me at one point, which was not even funny. You did.
I grabbed on your jacket.
You tried
jacket.
To grab at me. We're like 6 feet away from the edge. And you
tried to grab at me.
We're 6 feet away from the edge. I'm in the fecal position.
6 feet. 6 feet away from the edge. Not on the edge. Dude, we were like the next town over, and you tried to push me over.
You're absolutely ridiculous.
We'll get to comments.
Okay, comments. We're gonna go through the we're gonna go through those quickly in a moment here, guys. Comments, and then we're getting right into our discussion about Calvinism, Reformed theology. Be right back.
Apology Radio. We'll be right back.
ApologyRadio.com, guys. That's where you get us. Go get a past episode. Share it on your social media, guys. Join us in the movement. You participate in this ministry with us by praying for us, by sharing episodes. You can be part of the ministry in that way, and by also giving to the work of Apologia Church at ApologyRadio.com. I know when you hear it, please give. You think someone's got that covered. Nope.
Wrong.
It's our listeners. It's you who share in this ministry with us. And so if this is blessing you, if you're listening to it and it's changing your lives, we get your emails every day. And that's true. Every day.
Every day.
We get them every day. And you can participate with us. You really can by giving at apologiaradio.com. All right, we're back. Great stuff playing today, guys. Good stuff on this show. We're going to talk about the doctrines of grace. Have a good discussion on that. We're going to talk about a cultural issue involving Lecrae Cray. Cray Cray. Hey, hey. Lecrae. Best-selling artist. Calvinist, by the way. And did you know this? That he's a big fan of Dr. James White.
I did know that.
And that Dr. James White, when he came into town, Lecrae was doing a show years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He connected with Dr. White, and Dr. White did a private teaching with the guys from his band and you know his crew that were doing the concert. Yeah. So imagine that. They come out, I think they had lunch together, and they had like Dr. White sat him down, went through like a presentation on the textual transmission of the Bible or something like that.
Huh?
With Lecrae.
Yeah, I saw the picture, and Dr. White's name was very appropriate.
What was it?
It was like him, and there was a bunch of, like, all of Lecrae's crew, so it was like all these black guys and then Dr. White, and it was like hilarious looking.
And
he like just stood up. It's like,
Dr. White?
It's like the Sesame Street. Which one of these does not belong? He probably had a bow tie and like some goofy shirt.
Which
on.
One is Dr. White?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really cool that a number one best selling artist in the nation over secular artists is Lecrae, and he happens to be not just Christian but Reformed. And if you're listening to this show, a fan of a lot of the same guys that we are. A lot of our heroes are his heroes, which you need to appreciate that. And you need to know that post-Mildo.
I hope he's not trying to take over the culture.
Oh, that'd be bad. Mm. It would accomplish nothing.
Nothing. Luke, nothing good could come from that.
Nothing good would come from that. Which, by the way, you're probably wondering, what do you have to say to J.D. Hall, Jeff? Here's what I have to say to you. I love you, brother. I think you're a solid dude. I respect you. I honor you. And we'll respond to your show that was posted today next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. Love you, brother. And we're looking forward to the dialogue. All right. Luke.
Comments. We got a bunch of good ones today. The song is, I don't know. It's,
yeah, it's good. You know it.
I'm not sure what to think of it.
This is good. By the way, this is good study music is what it is. You listen to this when you're studying. Studies show that while studying to music like this, it actually keeps you at a higher functioning rate, and you actually
specifically to this song,
you grab material. No, you actually you grab and memorize material better and remember it when you have like a
I listen to music
steady
when I
beat going in the background. So when I study, that's you know it's funny. When I study, I'm usually listening to something like this, kind of low in the background.
Yeah, I listen to something, but not this.
Also, when I stop, I just get a little, yeah. What? Why are you looking at me like that? That's what I do.
Stop for a little dance party break.
Yeah. Instead of just standing up and like stretching a little break, I just stop and I just go with it.
Yeah.
Because it's just a continuation.
Right now with this guy in the background, I'm picturing like some man with like a mesh shirt on.
Tight red shorts.
Yeah, like.
Little half shirt, mesh.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So this study comment,
buddy. I have a friend who used to wear that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you used to wear that
friend.
Kind of stuff.
No.
I have a friend that used to wear that.
Wait a second. You cannot make our listeners think I wore a half
I've seen the cut. Picture.
You have not. You've never seen a picture of me wearing a half cut shmesh shirt. That's never.
Shmesh.
It's Jewish. Shmesh. Shalom. I've never done that. I've never done that. We have a friend that
wore a mesh shirt.
A friend.
Okay. In 1999, when I was in the clubbing scene, I might have worn a mesh shirt underneath over something else. No, it wasn't this. It was a little more trance and techno than that.
Okay.
Anyways, please, go on.
I do know the friend you're talking about.
Okay. Well, as you're looking that up, I used to have a friend that would wear these half-cut mesh shirts with, like, tight red shorts. And he was an evangelist, and he was just an amazing man of God. But I went to Scottsdale once to meet him at a coffee shop, and he was wearing that. And that was, and it happened so often. We were in Scottsdale; it was embarrassing. People in Scottsdale call it Snotsdale or Snobsdale because you know it's a rich area. And he comes into this place dressed like that, and as I had to finally say something. I was like, Tony, you can't wear that. You can't wear that when we hang out, man.
This is coming from the Tippy Manblader.
Tippy Manblader.
One time, when we first started, Jeff was manblading around Tempe with no shirt on and jeans, handing out flyers for Apologia, and I said, "You're not allowed to do that anymore."
I wasn't wearing jeans. I was wearing shorts, which is even worse, right? With my chicken legs.
With your little worm legs.
My little chicken legs.
Okay.
They're faster to kick you with.
Uh-huh. All right, Earthworm Jim. Okay, so
Earthworm Jim.
On to the comments. This one says, "Invaluable. Always coming back for more," by Seth Carlton.
Woo!
Do the Carlton. "I was on my daily Apologia binge. When one episode finished and I patiently waited for the next to start, there was only silence. I was disappointed to find I had listened to every single episode." Have I read this one?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Never heard it.
I lost my spot. If you haven't started listening to this delicious podcast, you must. The Bear, the Girl, and the Ninja. I threw the question mark.
Okay.
This was pre-question mark
wrong.
Show.
Wrong.
This was pre that show.
Lies.
"Combined to create the best podcast on iTunes. Glory!
Glory."
I inserted the glory. "Every episode is theologically rich, biblically sound, and hilariously funny. When I listen at work, I have to hold myself back from yelling out a hearty amen or from bursting into laughter. Especially when we talk about fecal position. Thank you so much for the ministry,
too, right,
which is training me to be an ironclad warrior for Christ."
Woo, that's good.
Thanks,
thank you very much,
Seth,
for that.
Carlton.
Thanks, Carlton.
Next one, "Read It and Weep, Other Podcasts," by Grandmaster Mulligan.
Mm.
Cool name. "This is the top of podcast food chain. Derb Step, Bear Trap, and Joy to the Girl supply the ammunition."
What?
"This is a funny one. For the mission to address the condition of the need for sin remission, whatever your position." Well done. Other podcast can get you equipped like this. Not even the Apollo Jokers over at Light Snack Radio.
Oh, that's good. Light Snack Radio.
The bearded Baptist bros and non-bro bring in the salted meats, robot music, and shine the light of the gospel across every avenue of life. It's a partial preterist presuppositional party podcast. Get on it, then.
That might be the best comment we've ever had.
That's pretty dang good.
That's pretty darn good. Congratulations. What was his name again? Grandmaster?
Mulligan.
Grandmaster, you are.
Yes.
Congratulations. You are 10th degree.
Next one.
Grandmaster, by
the way. "I'm Now a Theonomist" by Yarmy Matey.
Yar!
"I started listening to Apology Radio about a year ago and loved the show, but thought you guys and gal, Joy, were insane." Oh, I'm going to have to finish this one on the next.
Ooh, so hang on. We know that you're waiting to hear the rest of this delicious comment from Yar.
Matey.
Yeah, Matey.
Hello, Puppet.
Hello, Puppet. Forward. That's fun to say. We'll be back.
Apology Radio will be right back.
We got sort of a chill flavor going on today. Is this to your liking?
I think I should pick the music the rest of this episode.
What's the, is this off YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
What's the picture that accompanies this type of music?
Well, it'll change.
An island.
This one's an island. Sometimes they're inappropriate, so you can't click those.
Inappropriate island?
The island is very inappropriate. No, just, you know, there's some good chill out. There's some good chill out music on YouTube. Usually like chill out, deep house.
Feel like you're on an island.
Chill dubstep is good too. It's stuff like this.
Your Mom on Ice.
So that's what you're listening to right now. See how it changes?
Mm-hmm.
See, just like that,
Does
Joy.
Does the picture change?
No, you don't even know.
Are we somewhere new now?
Yep, not yet. I'll let you know. I'll let you know when it happens. All right, let's finish that comment.
Okay. So I left off. I'll just start over. "I started listening to Apology Radio about a year ago and loved the show, but thought you guys and gal, Joy, were insane with those whole theonomic post-millennial take on eschatology. In fact, I was shocked that Jeff could be so well-educated, yet still hold to something I almost viewed as heresy."
Huh.
Is this from J.D. Hall? Oh. "Boy, was I wrong. I attended the Law and Liberty Tour in Houston last month, and I'm reading Last Days Madness by Gary DeMar. And my whole life has changed. I am not only reformed now, due to Potter's Freedom, James White's amazing book, but now I see that Christ is King and is seated and ruling and reigning now. God bless you guys, and can't wait to share your Oh, shake your hand, not share your hand. Shake your hand someday, Jeff and Luke, and perhaps a side hug for joy.
Oh, a side hug.
That's cute.
Hey, you know what's interesting? Okay, think about this, guys. Scratch the terminology. You know, if you're a Calvinist, you feel that way. You can say, hey, trash the terminology. Who cares about the tulip and the name? Let's just get to the scriptures about these issues. Don't you feel that way? It's like that's the issue. So someone says, well, I don't believe tulip. Well, then, okay, let's talk about what the Bible teaches about those things. This is the same. When someone says, oh, post-mill, theonomic, okay, it's just
that
very simple.
Post-mill, though.
Here's what he just said, that is grasping it. He says, now I know that Christ is seated and he's ruling now. And, you know, when you say he's the king and his kingdom is here and it's expanding, he's the boss. He's the king of, you know, he has all authority. We're saying, okay, you got it. Okay, and it happens to be called post-mill.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the issue. And someone says, theonomy, it's like, well, do you believe that your hearts change when God saves you? Yes. Do you believe that then you love God's laws? Yes. Do you believe that God's laws were just in the Old Testament? Yeah, they were just. Great. Welcome to theonomy. Do you get the point? Like, mm-hmm. That's just the issue. It's not about, like, this is a really cool team to be on. Mm-hmm. I say, scratch that funk. Like, let's talk about the scriptures. And let's say, if you say, hey, look, I'm convinced that Jesus is king now, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and that he is ruling now, and that he's putting all enemies under his feet, that's where I'm at. I'd be great. Praise God. That's it. And they're like, I don't want to call myself post-mill. Fine. I'm glad you believe that, because that's the issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe God's law is a standard. Great. I don't want to call myself a theonomist. I don't care. As long as you believe that and that begins to work its way out in your life and how you proclaim that into the world, good to go.
It's about time we kick the funk clean overboard. Now we've changed scenery. We are now in some fancy car driving through some mist.
There are palm trees right now, and there's a nice yellow vehicle. Looks like something out of Transformers. And there's a dude and a girl sitting by a palm tree. It's very comfortable. You know, it's just comforting when I see these pictures.
Yeah.
Joy.
You know, I'm glad that we have pirates listening to our show from the Army Navy.
Arr.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Any more comments that we should talk about?
Okay, real quick.
Let's do last one. And guys, we have next segment. We're going to talk about the issue with Lecrae, play a clip from that, and get right into our discussion on the grace of God and salvation. That's what we're going to talk about. So stay with us right now. Last comment.
This is from Elk Farg. I'm pretty sure they've left a comment before. I remember reading that name. Anyways.
Elk Farg.
Yeah. I'd rather be punched in the face than miss the next episode. Hope that got attention. That's what it says. I've been listening to the show just about since it started. I've been a fan of Apologia when I found Jeff Durbin witnessing the JWs on YouTube. I can tell you that for me and my fiancé, this has been used by God for great sanctification. I went from a 3 to 4 point Calvinist, which doesn't make much sense. He said that. To embracing the 5 points of tulip. I went from premill to learning the truth of postmillennialism and now reading and studying theonomy. The show breaks the false dichotomy that Christians should not be involved in political matters and encourages listeners to get equipped and engage the culture. From special guests to the topics covered, there is never a boring moment. I've shared this ministry with as many people as I know, and I will not stop.
Thank you.
Ultimately, I've gotten a deeper understanding of our Lord, and I am stronger in my faith. I love all these guys. Pray for them, support them, and spread the word. P.S. My beard seems to have grown thicker and more powerful since listening. Coincidence? I think not.
More powerful. I like that.
Dude, that was in stereo.
I can use it for more things. Special powers.
Its skills have expanded.
That's good. Well, thank you guys for the comments, and you know, we read your comments on air because we appreciate you guys as listeners. We appreciate your feedback, so thank you so, so very much. God bless you guys, and be right back, ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
We're back. That's the girl, the bear over there. Ninja. Okay, so...
Oh.
Hal Lecrae, Christian rapper, mixed hip-hop and theology to find mainstream success. You know where this is at? Huffington Post. It's a rather well-known...
The culture's writing about a reform guy?
That's right.
Go figure.
All right, so Hal Lecrae, Christian rapper, mixed hip-hop and theology to find mainstream success.
Yarr!
Pop it. All right. He's been crowned the new hip-hop king, and his newest album, Anomaly, topped iTunes and Amazon charts the day of its September 9th release. He's been invited to birthday parties for both Billy Graham and Michael Jordan and riffed on NBC's Tonight Show with host Jimmy Fallon. It's the kind of mainstream success that has eluded most Christian rappers. Then again, some people are still trying to decide if hip-hop star Lecrae is a Christian rapper or a rapper who happens to be Christian. It depends on who you ask, including Lecrae himself. God has also, quote, God has also raised up lowly kind of insignificant individuals to do miraculous and incredible things, Lecrae, 34, said in an interview. We're the Gideons. We're the Davids. Even Jesus himself made himself of no reputation. It's when you can link it back to God doing it. I think that's what he loves. He's not a megalomaniac. He's deserving of glory and honor. And to use individuals to demonstrate that it was him and him alone, it accomplishes his mission, and that's success. While most Christian artists have struggled to break out of the Christian music subculture, Lecrae has found early crossover success and a significant following among white evangelical elites. He navigates tricky waters between rapping explicitly about Christianity while reaching a mainstream audience. Check it out. Here we go. According to Billboard, he's sold 1.4 million albums and 2.9 million track downloads. Anomaly hit Billboard's number one last week. So, let's talk amongst ourselves.
He wasn't invited to my birthday party.
I know, so it's not...
Well, did you invite him?
Obviously, I mean, not that popular.
Yeah.
So, I think it's good to talk about this. Lecrae is reformed. I mean, great song he wrote. I think it went along with Piper's book, Don't Waste Your Life. Mm-hmm. And it was Don't Waste Your Life. And it was Lecrae. Excellent. The guy has got skills. He's had mad skills for a long, long time.
With a Z.
Now, this is really interesting. You have today, now 2,000 years after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus, you have now Christians selling the most albums, number one on the Billboard chart, number one, who happens to be not just Christian, but a reformed Christian, a Calvinist, on the number one Billboard spot. What do you think about that? And just think, it was 2,000 years ago that Christians were just seen as this really strange sect of the Jews. You know, you have very confused disciples at Jesus' ascension, you know, looking up at him. He's saying, okay, go disciple the nations. And you've got, you know, 11 very confused disciples there. And, you know, how are we going to do this? And, you know, at times, major persecution then and even now in different parts of the world. But something's going on. Think about it. That fact that you can have a Christian with a Christian witness in the culture doing art to the glory of God, who knows the gospel, preaches the gospel, I think is a really cool thing. And I want to just say this. This is something that I think we need to say about the issue of his rap and all that stuff. I think it's wrong. My microphone just blew up on me. What's that? Oh, well, I'll just hold it like this. You guys have no idea what just happened here.
He just ripped his mic off the whole thing.
No, it just popped off.
Oh, that's why I was.
All right, y'all.
Tight.
So I'm gonna just do it upside down like this. Right now, I'm hanging upside down. All right, so like, all right. This is amazing. Luke's taking a picture right now. I'm just chasing the microphone around the studio. So the thing that often comes up as a challenge.
What are we talking about?
I'm going to switch microphones. How's that?
Okay. Hello?
Oh,
okay.
Is that loud? Yeah. Okay. All right. So the thing that will come up as a challenge oftentimes is people will, it's just dangling around the studio. We want to start this segment over and then we're going to go? Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
All right. So the thing will throw people off at times is they'll say, well, Lecrae doesn't always preach the full gospel in every song, which it disturbs me. And here's why it disturbs me. Because who says that you have to squeeze in all of Romans chapters 3-6 in every piece of art or music
right.
that you do. Who says that's the standard? I want to know. Isn't what we're aiming for as Christians is that we can have a clear communication of the gospel and do what we do to the glory of God? So I would say this. I think that whatever art we put out has to be explicitly Christian worldview.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in other words, I'm not going to do art and all of a sudden it's disturbing, disgusting, nasty, like unholy kind of stuff. It has to obviously be in accord with something that meets the lordship of Christ. Mm-hmm. But you can do art and music and film and whatever to the glory of God without having to like stick, you know, verses all over yourself as you do it. And here's what I wanted you guys to listen to. This is Lecrae on the Five Fingers of Death. It's on Sway's morning show, which is a really popular morning show for hip-hop.
Morning.
And this is him. And I wanted you to hear. I just wanted you to hear what they actually said about him. Sorry, this is going to get a little weird here for a second. I thought it was really cool what they said to him after he raps for a second, and he just sort of freestyles on the show, which is what he's really good. But something the guy said to him struck me as something you need to hear, because I thought it was just interesting to listen to what kind of influence Lecrae was having for the glory of God. You know, Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men so they give glory to your Father who's in heaven." And I think that's what's going on here. So let me go ahead and play this for you. Let me see if I can get to the good spot here.
Lecrae is here Five Fingers of Death. New album is Anomaly. It's coming out September the 9th.
You want it? Hey, I ain't see you at my concert. Guess you ain't on it. Guess you missing the moment, missing the point. Let me chill out. Y'all understand the words that are coming out my mid-off? Because ever since I've been out, these people told me get out. You backwoods, Holy Ghost hollering, fake mental. You Holy Ghost right-wing judgmental. You get out. It's funny because everyone gonna be sent out. But I ain't even tripping on the judgment. It's Swag in the morning, man, and I ain't finna budge, man.
Hats off.
Hey.
Man, this boy is the truth, man.
Hey, man, it was fun.
This boy.
This boy right here is the truth, man.
You're the evolution, bro. You're part of the evolution of what hip-hop was meant to be, man. Mm. Yeah. It wasn't meant to bring us down.
Yeah.
In the beginnings, it had to happen. You know, it had to happen.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be blasphemous, but it brought people together the same way Christianity has. And it gave a voice to people who felt disenfranchised and lost. Mm. And it kind of came into its own. But the original origins was to uplift.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And what you're doing with your music, what you're doing lyrically, what you're doing by your actions, too. Mm. Forget what happens in the studio. I'm talking about what happens out the studio.
It's love.
It's not just about what we put on wax, put on release digitally. It's about your actions, man. So what you're doing for me, while I got into this, is reassurance for me that we're doing something right. Mm. By what you were saying off the mic, creating a balance.
Yeah.
Allowing this to be heard, man. You're the evolution of this all, bro.
Oh, man.
Congratulations, man.
No doubt.
Appreciate you.
No doubt.
And you know how to rap. You know, and so, I mean, let this be a lesson. I usually say a lot of stuff at the end of Five Fingers of Death. But let this be a lesson, man. It's not always about promoting the darkness. It's, you know, the light.
Yeah, I would definitely say that as well, man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. That's what I Miseducation is one of my favorite albums, and her spirituality just bled through that, and it was encouraging, it was uplifting. You saw her pain, her trials, her tribulations, and that's my ambition, man. It's just to, you know, God didn't change my life, and I want to share that with the world. So, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. Just that his witness in the culture is, they say, you're consistent outside of the studio. You know, you're not just rapping about this stuff, but you're consistent. You know, they're talking about Lecrae's life. And I was encouraged by that because, you know, Jesus says that, let your light shine before men. And I would say that's in every area of life. And here you have a Christian who, again, is reformed, who preaches the gospel and witnesses for Christ, who is an excellent artist and makes great music. And that's what matters. He makes great music to the glory of God. You don't have to have the gospel presentation in every single piece of art that you do. Like if you're a painter, you don't have to every painting have to put like a picture of Jesus on the side somewhere, you know, squeeze like a cross somewhere in there. You can make art for the glory of God that is good, that is holy, art that tells the truth about whatever as a Christian to the glory of God. And your witness can come into the culture as a result of you just being good to the glory of God at what you do. And here's a guy who is, I don't know if he's Christian or not, but he's a well-known guy in this field. And he's telling Lecrae, like, he's, you know, it's great. Like, you're not rapping about darkness. You're rapping about light. And your witness is good outside the studio. Mm-hmm. And it looks like he's affirming that Lecrae's coming into this and really redeeming even this industry out of its darkness with, you know, that's, I thought that was amazing. Because if you know who this guy is, Sway, if you see his stuff, he's got the most famous, you know, artist today on his show in the morning. It's a very popular show. And Lecrae and him saying like you're the evolution of this art. That says a lot. Believe me, this show is very popular.
Well, it's just an example of someone who worships the original artist.
Yes.
Producing good art.
Yes.
And that's how it's supposed to be. And we are not supposed to. We've talked about this on the show. Actually, we've talked about how Christians in the past kind of they like taper their art so that it is like unmistakably Christian, but in a way it almost like we're not required to do that. We're not required to change our art so that we have the gospel in there and the full Bible messages and all this stuff. You know, I mean, when God originally created all of this, it's not like he created it to cry out glory to himself. He didn't have to put by God
right
like on every little tree and every little thing. Like that's just it just glorifies him.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think two things. I think you're exactly right, Joy. And I think that when we try to every single time, like we're making a film and okay, let's have our 5-minute section where we have the guy preach the gospel fully in the film so that everyone hears it. I think it does two things. I think it cheapens the film and I think it cheapens the gospel. Right?
Yeah.
I just think that because I think that what you're doing is that you're forcing something that doesn't fit necessarily. Why can't you make great film to the glory of God that tells the truth, that is holy, that is actually good art to the glory of God, and that is consistent with a biblical worldview, and then also in your witness outside of that be proclaiming Christ and the gospel and use it in that way? I think people are going to be more receptive to that. Obviously, we're all sinners in the first place, but I think in the sense of like what's practical, I think people are more receptive and respecting of a person who just is good at what they do to the glory of God. And when you talk to them, you realize, well, there's something different about them. And listen to what he's saying now. I think it's really important to actually praise God about the fact that you have today an American culture that is not in a good moment right now with where we're at with morality, the abandonment of God's law wholesale in our school systems and our law system. I think it's a good thing that in the culture we're in right now, you have a Christian, a reformed Christian, number one on the billboard, top spot.
Mm-hmm. You asked who set the standard. I think David set the standard with the Psalms.
Very good.
Those were songs. Yes. No different than what Lecrae's doing.
Mm. And if you listen to Lecrae's music, if you listen to it, all of it together, it's very rich theologically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very, very rich. So I praise
rich,
God
rich,
for
rich.
It. Rich, 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 rich. I praise God for it. Praise God for Lecrae and his witness. I praise God that he's being light to the world. And I just hope that he continues to get opportunities to proclaim the gospel at these events that he goes to and all of that. All right, guys, so here we go. Coming into the second hour now, and we are going to dig in today to the doctrines of grace. How gracious is God's grace? Stay with us.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America, One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org.
So you're playing this, Luke, as an example of wretched Christian music.
Tell you what, Lecrae's come a long way from this.
Yeah.
Jesus is my friend.
This is just something you laugh at. That's it.
Well, and I mean, we're not here to like say like this is real art and this is not real art. But I mean, if somebody honestly wrote this and like this was what they had on their heart, okay. But what we're saying is that it doesn't all have to be like that. Just because art doesn't all look the same,
yeah.
You just can't get crazy.
All right, you want to take that down? I'll bring this up over here. You're good to go. Okay, so let's get right into the discussion. All right, this is of singular importance right now. When you think about the doctrines of grace, TULIP, the 5 points, and everything else, it's the question of what do the scriptures say? Okay, I have to ask myself the question. And let me ask you, the listener, the question. Are we willing to lay aside our traditions, our man-centered philosophical concepts? Are we willing to lay those aside to go to the inspired revelation, God's own word to us, what is actually theanoustos, 2 Timothy 3:16, theanoustos, which is actually the breathed-out revelation of God? Are we willing to go to it to say, what is it say? And let me ask this question. Are we willing to be checked on our traditions? Isn't that a good thing? Have you ever experienced that as a Christian? Have you ever experienced thinking something for a very, very long time about God, about the world, about yourself, about His Word, whatever? Have you ever experienced going to the Word of God and being corrected on that? Was that a good experience or a bad experience? I'm sure probably a little bit of both. Like, it's a very humbling thing. It's very painful to know that you've been wrong the whole time. Maybe you've taught people wrongly. Wasn't it a very good thing when God challenged you and fixed you? Well, that's what we want to ask here. When you do the issues related to the doctrines of grace, let's talk about it in a way that makes sense. We're asking the question about how gracious is God's grace. Because when we typically talk about God's grace as Christians, what do we say? We say grace is unmerited favor. We have our Christian quips and our Christian ghetto language, and we say that's unmerited favor is what grace is. And so we say, typically, we'll say something like Ephesians 2:8-9. We'll say, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not according to works, lest any man should boast. And we love that verse, and we should love that verse. That's an incredible, incredible passage of Scripture. But you know, there's something else you need to think about, is that when Paul is discussing that, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not according to works, lest any man should boast. See, that's by memory, because all Christians usually have that memorized. We're forgetting the fact that that's in a whole context. And that's in a passage where he's describing where we've come from. And I'm going to read that to you real fast, because we're talking about today grace. Like, how gracious is God's grace and salvation? Here we go. Ready? Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So what are we in this passage? Dead, children of wrath, just like the rest. Now here's the two beautiful words you need to know from Scripture. Ready? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So here we go. If we're going to be consistent as Christians with the Word of God and what God says about grace, then we need to hold to the same view of grace and what took place as the Apostle Paul. So let's think about it for a second. What's the condition here? You have dead and by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else. Now that's important. Would you hang on to that? Ready? Dead and by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else. All right? So here we have mankind, men and women. We have them spiritually dead. Okay? Now ask the question. What can a dead man or dead woman do?
Rot.
What can they do? They're dead. But then it gets further. He says, and we're by nature children of wrath. So are we children of God before Christ? Nope. Children of wrath. You become a child of God when you receive Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 says, many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So children of wrath before Christ, dead in our sins and trespasses, just like everybody else. Now, that's important. I keep stressing that for a reason. Paul's saying dead and by nature child of wrath, just like everybody else. Okay? So what makes the difference? It's the next couple verses. It's where Paul says, even when you were dead in your sins and trespasses, God made you alive together with him. So you were dead, and the question is, who made you alive? You? You say, well, yeah, I believed. Well, of course, as a Christian, you believed. But how did that take place? You didn't believe as a dead person. Dead people don't believe. You believe because what? God made you alive together with him. Now, watch this. Here's the final point I'm making on this. We're going to dig right in here. Is just this. He says right after you were dead and God made you alive, by grace, you've been saved. So if we're going to be consistent, and we're going to quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and we say, by grace you've been saved through faith and that not of yourselves. Well, if we have the context of Paul in Ephesians 2, he just mentioned what by grace you've been saved means to him, to an inspired apostle. The grace part was you were dead, God made you alive. Have you thought about that? It's not just that God, with unmerited favor, gave you grace. Paul's definition of by grace you've been saved, he says it right in Ephesians 2, is you were dead, God made you alive. If our view of grace isn't that, then it's not as gracious as God's grace. Do you get the point? Why is it so important? Why is it important to talk about these things? Because it's all to the glory of God. It's so that there's no one boasting in themselves, but we boast in God. Now, we would say as Reformed people, as Calvinists, I think as biblical Christians, as I think as historic Christians, we would say the issue is grace. It's that we were dead, like really dead spiritually, and God made us alive. He did that. It's all him, not me. He did that. That's how I'm saved. God raised me to newness of life, and he granted me then life and the ability to believe. And someone says, well, no, you believed. Yeah, I believed because God made me alive. Alive people do alive spiritual things. Dead people do dead spiritual things. Get the point? That's the two realms. And so if we're going to really embrace grace, the grace of God as Christians, we have to have a biblical view of grace. And believe me, it does matter. And I'm going to end with this. And Luke, I want you to jump in here with what we talk about, the issue of total depravity. I'm going to go into that. Okay, so just a quick punch at this. I have a Jehovah's Witness call me up. I don't know how I got my number, But he didn't, which is kind of scary. So he calls me up and just goes right into it, just like leaps right into it. Let's go. So I'm on the phone with this guy for like, I think, 2 hours or so. And on the phone, I'm walking him through. He doesn't realize it, but I'm walking him through Romans chapters 1 through 5 in my mind. And then we get to Romans 6. And I'm explaining, you know, that's why our lives change, because we joined together with Jesus in his death and resurrection. But I'm like, it's God's grace apart from works of law. And I'm just quoting to him, Paul, grace apart from works of law, believe in God justifying the ungodly, and on and on and on. And so he stops me and he says this, not knowing that I'm walking through Romans. He says this. He goes, well, if you're saying that it's all God's grace and it's apart from works of any sort on our part, and it's all God, and he does this, and it's salvation only because of the work of Christ, and it's all grace and faith and apart from works, he goes, then that must mean that God is the one who controls salvation. He's the one that chooses to save. And I go, isn't it? I said to him, I said, you know what? Isn't it funny that you haven't realized that I've walked you through Romans 1 through 6 right now, and you just moved your way to the logical conclusion of Paul in Romans 8 and 9. Isn't it amazing? You see, it does matter. These issues cut to the heart of the gospel. You can't say they're unimportant, because they come up. When you proclaim the gospel of God's grace and salvation in Christ and Christ alone, with the gospel comes questions. And people are going to want to know, what do you mean by grace? And what do you mean that it's by Christ and Christ alone? What do you mean it's to the glory of God alone? And guess what? Just so happens God spoke. He's spoken a lot about this. All right, Luke, let's dig into the issue of total depravity, because you've been teaching about it last couple weeks at Apologia Church.
Well, yeah, let me just I'll just go through some verses real quick to talk about.
Enjoy, you feel free to jump in.
The inability of man. And actually, I'll give you guys both. I made this. Well, I kind of.
Oh, we get our own little copies.
I stole this from Samson Claus, so I'm just going to give it to you.
Okay.
It's a really cool chart. It talks about there's three categories that verses that show the responsibility of man. There's a category that shows the inability of man, and is a category that shows the monergistic grace of God, all in salvation.
And so, monergism means
one work
and one power. Okay. So monergism. We say monergism versus synergism. What are we saying?
Synergism being man and God working together in salvation. Monergism meaning God alone.
Yes.
Does all the work in salvation.
Yeah.
So I'll just read some of these verses real quick to talk about. The inability of man, since we're talking about totes depravity.
Totes depraved.
And the tea and tulip is total depravity. Mm-hmm. What we mean is total
inability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and that's another weird, I mean, you kind of touched on that a little bit. I know we're coming to the end of the segment here. But this is kind of, the whole tulip thing is another example of where it's way more worth it to just, like, actually be in a conversation about what it really means, instead of get caught up in the whole, like, total depravity, like, and then pick that apart, because we've just proven that we're so committed to it being total depravity because that's what they decided that it was called. Like, we're willing to mess with that a little bit and, you know, sort of change it around. So don't get caught up on the tulip thing. Just talk with people about it, like, sort of get into a conversation and allow people to kind of expand on what that actually means.
Yeah, what's the condition of man, mm-hmm. men and women?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at?
Dead.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Tulip is just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And by the way,
don't get too crazy.
Tool.
And not a created thing. Just something we say. Hey, let's just a cute thing. John Calvin knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
If you had
he was
it
long
him,
and dead when it came.
Yeah. If you had said it to him, he'd have gone looking for something in his garden.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a response to a protest by the Arminians.
The Remonstrance.
You need to know the history is this wasn't made up by, quote, Calvinists. This was something that was a response to an attack, I would say, on the grace of God. Okay.
Well, that's the end of the segment, so we'll just continue.
Okay, that's okay. All right, guys, so we're gonna move a little faster as we get through here, but just consider today a day where we're going to just throw a big punch with a lot of verses. So stay with us, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
So total depravity, we talk about total inability. What we're saying is that born in a state of spiritual death after Adam, Romans 5. As in Adam, all die, in Christ all be made alive. In that state, spiritually speaking, we are unable and unwilling to come to God. And so, Luke, give us some explanation and some verses.
Totes unable. So, one of you said it the last segment. Like, let's just see what the word says. Let's not try to philosophically digest this. Let's just go to the word.
Yeah.
See what God has to say about this.
Put a little frill and bells on it. Let's just make it. Let's just get the verses.
Frill and bells.
Frill and bells. Now I know what to do if I ever am going to try to make something fancy for you.
We're not decorating. Frills and bells. We're not decorating a Christmas tree here.
Bells.
Okay. So I'll just go through some of these verses real quick. So John 6:44, A, no one can come to me. John 3:20, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his work should be exposed. Romans 3:11, no one understands, no one seeks for God. Romans 8:7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Quick thing, Dr. White says all the time at the end of that verse, is believing in Jesus something that's pleasing to God?
Yes. Yes.
So they can't do it.
Yes.
Van Til has had this little story where he talked about like a man that developed this life-giving serum, and the man would take it into cemeteries and like set up his little stand with his life-giving serum.
Oh, wow.
And would just like stand there, and what happens? Like, he was going to sell it to the dead people in the cemetery, and do you think, like...
No one's coming to buy.
No.
No one's coming to buy.
They can't even buy the life-giving serum without first being alive, and they can't... A dead man can do nothing, which includes bring himself back to life.
Amen. That's good. Good job.
I love how Paul wraps that up there, and actually it's verse 7 and 8 then. Because it's one thing, I think it's one thing to say, well, you know, a dead man does not submit to God's law. But then he's like, not only does he not do it, he cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then John 8:47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God.
Say that one more time. That's really good.
Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. So you can't even hear him.
So there's two categories of people there that Jesus is referencing. Those who are of God that can hear, and those who aren't, then that's why they can't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
John 14:17. Even if the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the world cannot receive him because they don't know him. But since you do know him, because he dwells in you. Romans 9:16a. So then it depends not on human will or exertion. John 3:3a. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Cannot even see it.
Yep. Truth. 1 Corinthians 2:14.
Big one.
The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
Boom, right? Are we done? Can we close our Bibles? No, because there are hundreds more.
1 Corinthians 12:3. No one can say Jesus is Lord. Jeremiah 13:23. We're going to go OT.
By the way, that's
one.
Except by the Spirit of God. That's the the rest of that verse.
Right. The rest of it says, I should read it. Yep. Except in the Holy Spirit is the rest of it. Can the Ethiopian can't talk today? The Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then also, you can do good who are accustomed to do evil. That's kind of worded weird, but the point is that a leper can't change a spot, so you can't do good. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And then Matthew 19:23-24, and Jesus said to the disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.
But there's more to that. The next part is, and when they heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Yep. So with man, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. One more thing I want to add to that wonderful list, Pastor Luke, is John chapter 10. It's really important. Jesus says that he's the good shepherd. He says in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Note it. Hang on to it. Think about what he says. The good shepherd lays down his life for who?
The sheep.
The sheep. And then he says this, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's not a confusing sort of blurred list for Jesus. He says that he knows them. He knows who his sheep are, and my own know me. He says, verse 15, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus says that his knowledge of the sheep and their knowledge of him is like the knowledge that he has of the Father. Do we honestly think that Jesus is confused about who he's saving?
No.
Think about that for a second. Because Jesus is comparing the knowledge that he has of the Father, the intimate knowledge that he has with the Father, with the knowledge that he has with his own sheep.
Right.
So whatever gave us the idea that Jesus is sort of on the edge of people going, man, I really wish I could do something here. You know what I mean? It's like he says he knows. But there's more here. He says this, verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So who's he talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles as well, not just Jews, but Gentiles. For this, and he says, and watch this, and he says, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Okay, is Jesus at all confused or saddened in any sense, I'd say, that people aren't going to come to him that he really is trying to save? He says, they will hear my voice.
Right.
That's guaranteed. If you want to know what irresistible grace is, it is that. Obviously, it's regeneration. God brings people to life. But it's just the idea that when Jesus says, I'm bringing them, they're coming.
Right.
But here's the end I wanted to get to. Okay. So in John 10, they say this to him in verse 24. The Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. I love this answer. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. Jesus doesn't say, oh.
Right.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot to say that to you. Oh, I'm the Messiah. He says, watch, I told you.
Right.
And you don't believe. But watch what he says. He says, verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Open the web! Get your mom out!
Excuse me. What is this?
The Aquabats Super Show. Aquabats Super Show. Aquabats Super Show.
Is that how they say it?
Yeah, that's how the song goes.
Do you like the Aquabats, Luke?
I do.
Do you?
I do too.
I just took my daughter to see them, and I got to meet MC Bat Commander backstage.
What?
I got my picture with them.
This is probably a very special thing.
It's very special. And my daughter was freaking out. I was freaking out.
And isn't the dude that you said the dude's a Mormon?
Yeah, he is a Mormon.
Okay, heretic. That's just joking.
The song, if you listen to lyrics, the dude's mom gets
open
eaten by
worm.
A giant worm. Yeah, says, get
open the
worm,
worm.
Open the worm and get your mama out.
The amazing. Song is about a worm eating his mama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's compelling.
Yeah.
That's compelling.
Your face is compelling.
Hey, what was, hey, J-Man, did you ever watch that show in the, was it 80s or 90s? It was, I think Kevin Bacon was in it, and it was called
Tremors.
It was Tremors, and it was about the worms that came out of the ground and everything else. That was actually a good flick.
Yeah.
It's like this.
It was.
Yeah. It was good. And then they tried to make like five more, and then they were all bad.
Yeah. They made more after that?
Yeah.
Or how about the one of the worst ever horror films was Critters. Did you ever see Critters?
Yeah.
No.
Oh my goodness. Worst ever.
I thought it looked dumb to me.
Worst
I don't know.
Ever.
It's like the sloths in Tiny Backpacks. I don't know if there is a horror movie out there that you can say is the worst one because there are so many bad ones.
Did you see the preview for the new movie coming out? I don't even know what it's called. It's like some creepy doll. And do you know what I'm talking about?
It's like the doll from The Conjuring.
Okay. Awesome. Well, all I know is in the commercial, like the preview, this guy like brings home this creepy doll for his, I don't know if it's his girlfriend or wife, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, thank you so much. I love it. And it's like the creepiest looking doll I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was like, why would you be thankful for that?
Annabelle.
Yeah. It's I don't even understand.
I saw that commercial this morning before I left, and it terrified me.
Yeah. Like, why would you be thankful for that doll?
And why is it at 8 o'clock in the morning playing? I'm just waking up.
It looks like I got dragged through the dirt. Why would you be happy
Why
for
are you
it?
Playing that? It's 8 o'clock. Stop it.
Were you holding onto the wall?
Stop it.
Were you holding onto the wall when you saw that?
I hate those things.
Were you in the fecal position?
Nice. All right.
Bring it all back.
So, total depravity is not, listen, that people are as bad as they possibly could be. We acknowledge the fact that God is restraining evil all the time, and thank God for that, that he restrains evil. And aren't you happy as a Christian that God restrains you at times from sin? Do you have any moments in your mind you could think about where like God totally stopped you from doing something stupid and you're like, wow, that was straight God. If I would have left to my own devices, I would have been absolutely wretched just now. And you realize that was straight from God. Like he just protected me and I didn't fall into sin. Aren't you grateful for that? Where he's doing that all the time. And so we want to thank God for the fact that he restrains people from their sin. Are people sinful? Yes. Are there evil things that happen? Yes. But we're not as evil as we could be. We're saying that we're totally unable to come to God for salvation on our own. Just think about the first few chapters of Romans briefly. Just think about this. And I'm going to ask Joy to fill in here. What are some of the descriptions of us? Suppressing the truth, haters of God, enemies of God, not righteous, don't do good, non-God-seeking, ungodly, helpless sinners. There you go. That's just the first couple chapters and only a few things about our condition. Did you want to say something, Joy, about the situation I was talking about in John 10?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I want to talk about John 10. That's one of like my most favorite
Me too.
Passages in the Bible. So I always get excited when people bring it up. And it's always brought up in this context. It's a great text for that. But one of my favorite parts of the text is that in verse 31, it talks about how the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. So a common objection to this whole idea of Reformed theology is, you know, like if people are either saved or they're not from the beginning of time, then why would we give them truth? You know, because they're just going to come to God at the end of their life. And, you know, it was already all predestined and everything.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus is God. And
yes.
He knew that people weren't going to hear it, and he said it anyway.
Yeah.
So why do we preach the gospel even though we don't know the condition of every man's heart? We do it because Jesus did.
Amen. And that's exactly right. And that's actually a good point to make, is that he knew what the response was going to be.
Yeah,
he still
knew.
Told them the truth.
Yeah.
Here's why. Because they're image bearers of God, responsible before God, and they love their sin. And because I don't know the condition of anyone's heart, but I'm still given the mandate and the command to go out and proclaim the gospel, which, by the way, very important, is not try Jesus, would you let him in? It's God commands men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel. It's not a request. It's a command to repent and believe. Everyone has that responsibility. Be right back.
We'll be right back.
All right. I want to say that I'm probably right now officially vindicated, as we've had the discussion as to who plays better music on this show.
You're going
to
be outvoted.
No.
Outvoted.
Because let me say right now.
Don't even try.
Let me say right now.
Don't even try.
This is Joy and Luke's musical selection, the last two songs. I'm just saying.
We'll see what the fans think.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure our fans will be like, dude, play the Shark Fighter.
Yeah.
All day.
Uh-huh.
In this
day.
Room. Yeah,
so who's vindicated?
In this room, you will not win that argument. Aquabats.
Between the two of you?
Aquabats will always win over Techno Island.
No.
Techno Island.
No, Techno Island.
Techno Fast Car.
There actually is a place that's basically Techno Island. It's called Ibiza.
What'd you call me?
Is it?
Ibiza, Ibiza.
Ibiza? Beat?
Whoa.
What? Done. What? Whoa. Good job. Look at you, girl. That's why we call you the girl.
What?
I don't know. Okay. All right, guys. So we're back. Let's get right into the rest of the discussion. Let's throw a few more things down on the issue of total inability and maybe try to answer some questions. Are all men, all women, sinners? Are there any exceptions? Psalm 143:2. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. No one living is righteous before you. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 2 Chronicles 6:36, there is no one who does not sin. And what does Jesus say in John chapter 8? Think about it. If there's no one who does not sin, 2 Chronicles 6:36, and Jesus says in John 8, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, then here is the point. Where do we ever get the idea that we have a will that is truly free to like choose God or not choose God? And this needs to be said. Calvinist reform folks don't say that people aren't making choices. Sorry. That people aren't making choices, that it's not you who's making that decision. You're not a robot. And God isn't forcing you to do anything you don't want to do. Everything that we do is from our own heart. We want to do it. Jesus teaches that. You know, these evil things proceed from within, from our hearts. So we're doing what we want to do. God doesn't force anybody to do anything. We're doing what we want to do, both in spiritual death and in spiritual life. Think about it. If you're in the realm of spiritual death, you are doing dead sorts of things. You are doing things that are not toward God. They're hostile towards God. They're a suppression of truth and unrighteousness. That's where you're going in that state. But if you've been brought to life by the Spirit of God, your eyes have been opened, then you then also are doing what is by your own nature naturally to do, which is to what? Believe in Christ. Think about that. Unbelief happens because of spiritual death, and because of your nature, you will do what's consistent with that, which is not believe, hate God, rebel against God. But when the Spirit of God comes into your life and raises you to newness of life, you do what is natural to that state, which is believe in Christ, love God, desire to obey His law. It's important for us to think about that, because I think people... many times when we talk Joy, we were talking this when we first started the show, when people attack Calvinism, many times they attack a straw man. They attack something that's really not what we believe. And that's why many times we were just saying before the show, like, just kind of treat the arguments with indifference, because they're not toward us. You know, people say, like, you know, why preach the gospel? Because God's already determined who's going to save. Right. God has a secret counsel and He knows all things because they're wrapped up in His decree. Mm-hmm. But I don't. And He commands men everywhere to repent. So I go out and proclaim to people, you turn from your sin to God to trust in Christ for salvation. And guess what? People hear that message. Some respond, some don't. What's the difference between the two? How come the one did and the one didn't? Well, if we say it's something in them, then we have to say, well, are the scriptures wrong then? That people are all enslaved and there's none righteous? Or are the scriptures right when they teach something like in 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26, that is God who grants repentance. It says that God grants repentance. Mm-hmm. Or Philippians 1:29, to you it has been granted not only to believe in Christ, gifted not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer. So it's God who gifts belief, God who grants repentance. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that, tuta, referring to what was just in preceding, and that not of yourselves, the grace nor the faith, it is the gift of God. Think about that. So it's God who does this. Mm-hmm. It's God who saves. Joy, I thought you had something there you wanted to say.
Oh, well, I mean, you were talking about the whole, like, straw man idea. And I was, and then right before that, you were talking about the whole, like, well, does God just make me into, like, a robot thing?
That was right when that song took his breath away.
Yeah.
Jed came by and took your wind.
Took your wind. but I was just thinking, like, I don't know. I think it's important for people to actually, like, we just throw the word straw man out there, like, but, like, really think about what someone's saying when they make an argument like that. Like, chances are you've just said something and they're like, well, so God just made me into a robot. It's not a well-thought-out argument. Yeah. First of all, sometimes I don't think it would be so bad to just be a robot that's completely obedient to God. Like, wouldn't that just be so much easier? But yeah. I don't know. Like, it's just totally, it's not what we're saying. It's sort of it's like a little image that people just cling to and then they just throw it out. It's not like a real... It's not a real conversation. Mm. And we do want to have real conversations. We don't just want to slam people for using the straw man. But just think about. And maybe if you're curious about the whole robot thing, just be like, well, does that mean God? You know, I don't know. Just talk to us like we're people. We're just people. Like, we're not a part of the club. We're not salesmen for Tulip.
It's like, about the scriptures.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Okay, so somebody objections. Oh, okay. People will say, well, then why preach the gospel if God's already predestined? Well, you have to come to grips with the fact that the Bible just teaches that John 6, Jesus says, I come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given to me, I should lose none. Got to handle that. There are a people given to Jesus that he has come to redeem. What's the angel's proclamation about Jesus? You shall call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Will save his people from their sins. That's not a hypothetical. That is a will happen. Jesus comes in saying the same thing. He comes in saying, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. So here's the will of God for Jesus. Jesus, I'm doing this. It's the Father's will for me, that I lose none of all that he's given to me. There's a people given to Jesus by the Father, and Jesus says, I'm not going to lose them. Now, that's it. That's a 5 points like that in John 6.
Right.
So if you want to say, like, what are the 5 points? That, John 6, right there. And it gets deeper, though, when the verse that Luke quoted, John 6, 44, is that no man can come to me. It literally teaches that no man is able to come to me unless what happens? Unless the Father who sent me draws him. And even the strongest Arminian will say, yeah, God has to draw you. But see, that's not the end of the verse, though. Jesus says, and I will raise him up. Jesus says, I raise up the one the Father draws, the one that had no ability to come. Go backwards. I will raise up him the Father draws that had no ability to come. There you go. There's total depravity. There's irresistible grace. That's Jesus teaching that he's not going to lose any of the Father's and give that the Father's given to him. That's it. That's our contention. We want John 6. We want that left in the Bible. We want John 10. We want that in the Bible. We believe that. And so people will say, you know, so you challenge somebody on people's condition, right? So you start challenging them on it. They're Arminian in some sense, or they have Arminian sympathies. And so you start challenging them on it. And you start saying, you know, well, are we dead spiritually? Like, yeah, but we can still believe. Well, what can a dead man do? Well, I don't know. Nothing. Well, so what, people can seek for God? Well, yeah, people do seek for God, but the Bible says there's none who seeks for God. Well, but people do. Yeah, so how'd that take place is the question, right?
Right?
And so you ask the question. You're like, okay, you start getting into questions about the atonement. Now, know this. If you say Jesus died for me on that cross, paid for all my sins on that cross, if you want that, if you say that's me, I'd like to take that, please. I want to believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross, all my sins, paid them in full, then I would say welcome to Calvinism. Do you get the point? Okay, because see, we don't believe that Jesus died just to make salvation possible. We don't believe Jesus died to simply make people savable, as an Arminian-esque kind of argument would be, you know, that he made the great possibility. It's up to you to join to it to sort of make it effective. We believe that it was real. We believe that it was for particular people, that we believe that Jesus died for us on that cross, that he paid for the sins of his people, that he absorbed the wrath of God and exhausted it himself on that cross, as John chapter 3 teaches. We believe that. And we believe that it was perfect. We believe that it was effective for salvation. We believe that the death of Jesus has the possibility to save an infinite number of people but that Jesus died to effectively save his people from their sins. And so people will talk about limited atonement. Here's what we mean. That definite atonement. Mm-hmm. It was real. It was effective. Right. It was actual atonement for God's people. That's what we mean. It wasn't a hypothetical salvation. It was real. And so what we would say to the Arminian is we would say John 10. John 10, can we have that? John 10, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And he lays his life down for the sheep. And he says that he has other sheep, which are not of this fold, them he must also bring. So he knows who the sheep are, like he knows the Father, and the Father knows him. So he knows his sheep, and they know him. That's what he says. And he says he lays his life down for them. Mm-hmm. But watch this. In the same passage, Jesus says to the Jews, he says, the reason you don't hear me is because you are not of my sheep. So they can't hear, and they're not his sheep.
Uh-huh. And he didn't die for them.
That's the point. John 10, Jesus says he lays his life down for the sheep. But they don't hear because they're not his.
Right.
Do you get it? But then he flips it up and goes right back to, but my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and no one can snatch it from my hand.
Mm-hmm.
If you affirm that, I want to say, hello, welcome to Calvinism.
Hello, puppet.
Hello, puppet. Welcome to Calvinism. Okay, but so watch this. So what I would challenge the Arminian with is this. This is that you're saying, and this is a weird form of Arminianism today where they try to say that it was actual death for the sins of every single person who's ever lived. Not just – it's almost like borrowing a bit of Calvinist-like atonement view and kind of pouring it into Arminian view. It's just kind of strange. Okay, so okay. I go, okay. Is you saying that Jesus died for the sins of every single person who's ever lived? Actually accomplished it, died for them, done, paid for them. They'll go, yes, I believe that. So then I'll say – ready? I'll say – so why is anybody in hell? To which the Arminian says, ready, because they don't believe.
Uh-huh.
To which I say, is unbelief a sin? To which the Arminian should say, if they're biblical, yes, unbelief is a sin. And then I could say, well, then Jesus also paid for that. They shouldn't be in hell.
Right.
Is God unjust? Does he send people to hell for sins that Jesus already paid for in full? So you got two people being punished, Jesus and the person? What? Where's the justice of God in that? And by the way, I have to not take credit for what I just told you. That was John Owen's major argument against Arminian views of atonement. But this is these are important things to think about because they have a dramatic impact on your life, your view of God's sovereignty in the world, and guess what? Missions.
Yeah.
Why do you think some of the greatest missions over the last couple hundred years were done by Calvinists? Because they believe that they can go anywhere in the world, that Jesus has sheep, and them he must also bring. I'm going to proclaim the gospel, and there's no failure at all. It can't fail.
Right.
And when we go preach the gospel, I know I go proclaim the gospel to bring glory to God. And God's going to be glorified either in his justice by allowing them to have what they want, their hatred for him, and not repenting, or he will be glorified in his grace in taking people who hate him, and giving them new hearts, raising them to life, and bringing them to his son when they don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
God will be glorified either way. You go preach the gospel. That's what Paul says. Those beautiful feet proclaim the good news. How are they going to hear unless you don't go preach to them? How are they going to hear if you're not sent to them, right? That's the point. So go preach the gospel with 100% guaranteed success. Go proclaim repentance and faith in this Messiah who was righteous, died, was buried and rose again, is ascended and seated, go proclaim repentance and faith, life in him. That was Luke the Girl, Joy the Bear, and I'm the Ninja. Be back, guys, next week, hopefully with a response to Brother J.D. Hall on the issue of God's law and Christ's kingdom. Stay with us, guys. Be with you guys next week. Love you. Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio, also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at apologiachurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, southwest corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites.
We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Ministry Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting at is the NBC Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, apologiachurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, apologiachurch.com.